Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you, Isaiah. You do each and every morning introducing this show to our right now 41,000 plus listeners. And I don't know, hey, before the week, you know, we might crack that 42,000 mark. We want to thank people for taking time in to tune in to this morning's show. And for those of you out there that celebrate Christmas, we hope you had a wonderful and happy holiday. And to enjoy time with your family and all of that. In terms of yesterday, you know, hey, it was just definitely a joyous occasion for several different people that I talked to on the phone. Yeah. And my wife, we had a chance to get out, fellowship with some people yesterday evening and break bread and really get into a discussion of a lot of spiritual things, and which was really deep and good. And, you know, hey, we had a great time, and now it's Kwanzaa time, and really excited. You know, this is the 40th year of celebrating Kwanzaa, and really, really, really excited about that. As you know, we're wrapping up this week with a discussion of the works of the late great brother George Sabira, who back in December of 2010, a week before he transitioned and went home to glory, became an ancestor. He transitioned on December the 10th, 2010. And a week before that, we did an hour and a half show right here on Home-Based Business 101 on the significance of the fourth principle of Kwanzaa, Ujamaa, cooperative economics. And, you know, had a great dialogue and discussion. We'll share some of that as we close out this week, Friday, as we discuss George's book that we're going through this week, Getting Black Folks to Sell. But we'll share part of that interview that Friday, Friday coming up, God willing, you know, the creek don't rise, and I'm still here. And we'll share a project that he was putting together, and it took me some time to be able to institute that project. We were going to work on it together, but we didn't get a chance to work on it together because God called him home and currently working on that project and making it happen. And I'm really, really excited about that. Well, let's get into the book this morning. Again, we're going through George's book called Getting Black Folks to Sell. He says, you know, that where we're at right now, we're going to go over today some aspects of understanding the basic selling process. And one of the things that he points out, and this is so, so important, he says it's very important that the salesperson strongly identify with a product and not merely like it. The definition of sales or selling was said to be so broad as to require more than one set of definitions. So I elaborate a bit on the number of ways things are sold and how salespeople get paid. Market identification was touched upon, and he said I explored that, which he did in the earlier part of the book, to some degree. The kinds of demands that are put on salespeople as opposed to the regular labor. He said, I ended with a discussion on motivation and suggested that African Americans are new warriors on the sales frontier, fighting the world of business and the world at large. If at all of this has registered, then I believe you're prepared for success in sales. Again, he's saying, you know, that it's important that you strongly identify with what it is that you're going to sell. This is so key. I mean, my initial knowledge stage into the selling profession was just sell, baby, almost like that, you know, phrase with all of your football fans out there, the Oakland Raiders, you know, what, you know, Al Davis thing used to be, just win, baby, just win. You know, and And then I found out it was deeper than just being able to sell, that you really needed to identify with what it is that you're selling. That's when you begin to become professional at it. You can tell I like, from doing this show, I like talking. So, you know, obviously you got the gift to gab. But you need to have more than the gift to gab. You need to be able to identify what it is that you're doing, because it's not. And you just come off as a hustler. See, and so I understand that very clearly. And he goes through, first thing is, talks about is developing an attitude mindset, you know. And talks about this. It might help then if I be so bold to suggest what you should think. Specifically, you should understand the frame of mind makes sales happen. Knowing something about how to view the customer is also part of the mindset preparation. With the proper attitude, your communication will be more natural, thus making it more believable and effective. You got to know about the customer, your customer profile. You just can't say, hey, this is the greatest thing since potato chips, and go about going to sell. You need to do a customer profile. You need to know something about, as we say in the business that I'm in, the prospect. And so it's just like with people that in the business that I'm in, that are part of my team, and they have someone they want me to pitch. You know, and those out there in the sales industry, you know what I'm talking about. So when you're going to pitch, then I ask them, give me the profile. I need to know the profile of this person. I need to know what their likes are, their dislikes, and so we can figure out a strategy. What is going to help them identify with the product that we have at hand? And those of you that know me and listen to this show, you know my product is travel. Travel and e-commerce with a business marketing opportunity attached to it. And so I need to know a lot about the person in terms of the profile. If the person doesn't travel and doesn't like to travel, then I need to know, you know, and I don't emphasize that part of what I have to offer, because they ain't going to identify with it. Now, if they like to shop, then the e-commerce side of what we do, you know, they'll be able to identify. But then if they don't shop online, now I got to convince them to shop online. And if they don't do that, they're not going to identify with that. Now, but if they like to make a lot of money, or they want a lot of money, and I can show them the market shift side of what we're doing, and show them the advantage of being in this business to market to those people that do like to travel and shop online, then I found, you know, a hot button. Because that's what you need. You need a hot button. See, another thing you should keep in mind, and they'll tell you people, some people, they have a different take on this. They tell you, nobody wants to be sold. Well, you know, George's take on that was a different way. He said, another thing you should always keep in mind is that people want to be sold. People want to leave the process knowing that they learned a lot more about the item they just bought. They want to know that they were able to compare the various brands of that item. They want to feel that they properly weighed the benefits of the item at various price ranges and chose the one that best suited their needs and pockets. In short, people want to be assured through another opinion that they made a good, if not perfect, decision. And in order to do those things with assurance, they need a salesperson. It's hard to do it without one. See, so your job, or our job as that salesperson, is we got to know our competition so that we can show the person the benefits of doing business with us. If you don't know your competition, that's why I study my competition. It's the same in sports. As we get ready for the NFL playoffs, you better believe people are sizing up strengths and weaknesses of teams so they know how to compete against them. I mean, this is, anybody that's in sports, you know that. I'm a tennis player. And, you know, I size up. When I go to play in a tournament, you know, people say, why you go watch the other people play? I just would be concentrating on what I do. Well, see, in order for me to concentrate on what I do and know what I do, knowing my strengths and weaknesses, I got to see who my opponents are and watch their matches. So a lot of times, you know, people used to say, you know, man, you won your match, why don't you go on home? No, I'm hanging around to see the two people that's playing and which one of them I'm going to end up having to play against, because one I'm going to win and one I'm going to lose. And I got to size them up. I know their strengths and their weaknesses. So you got to be able to do the same with your competition, the products. You're trying to convince a person that your product is the best product and the best decision for them. Why? What do you know about the other product? See, it's just like in the industry that I'm in. I know that in terms of the industry that I'm in terms of direct sales and network marketing, is that compared to a lot of other companies that I'm involved with, we have a car program, we have free health insurance, free life insurance, free health insurance, even if you have a pre-existing condition that you're guaranteed to be able to get, no strings attached. We have a tremendous bonus program. We have a program where you get to the money faster than any other company that I've seen out here. Also, we have an incentive when you have three business partners. You have no monthly overhead fees in terms of the business. And so when I sell my opportunity, see, I know what our strengths are, and then I know the other companies, what their weaknesses are, and then we have a great strength. Just recently had one of our people who we knew who transitioned and went home to glory, and our company, what they do is your family does not have to go seek out our company to get your residual income sent to you. Our company seeks out the family to make sure they find the next of kin so that your family doesn't miss none of your paychecks. So, see, so when I add those things up and then I ask people, do their company do that? A lot of times they can't answer, you know, you need to find out. I said, the company I'm in, that's what we do. So again, knowing your competition so that you can, you got to beat your competition. That's just plain and simple. Not almost beat them. Not come close to beat them. You got to beat them. And if you can beat them and run up the score, oh, man, you do that. Some people say, you know, you're bashing the other companies. No, I don't bash the other company. I run up the score. If, hey, it ain't my fault if, you know, another company, they don't have free health insurance or free life insurance. It ain't my fault if a company don't have a $1 million bonus program. It ain't my fault if other companies doesn't have a car program where you can win a Range Rover or a Jaguar or a Bentley. See, so I make sure I point that out when people consider coming into business with me. Again, knowing your competition, as George says, because that's what's going to sell your prospect. But if you don't know the competition, and they say, well, you know, yours sound pretty good, but over here they do such and such. And you got to be able to show and compare and be able to explain and say, yeah, I'm very familiar with that product. But did they tell you this? And people say, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, well, you need to go read, you know, here's the material. Or you, and see, I even go get materials on other people's products. So I can show people, see, this is what they say right here. Here you go. This is what they said, wow, the guy that was talking to me, he didn't say all of that. I said, yeah, but you need to read it. Here's our materials. Read it. We have a Bill of Rights. Did they have anything like that? Let's go through the materials and see. See, because you want to do a great job of killing the competition. Because then once you've done that, it's closed. It's on. I'm telling you. Because if the person is looking for what you have to offer, what they're doing is they're going to do their comparison. And you help them in that comparison process. Okay. So, one of the other things George talks about, he says, knowing that you know what you need to know, which is what I basically just sort of covered a little bit here. It says, knowing how to sell. What steps should be taken between the time you meet someone and the time he or she pays for the product? Knowing the company you represent, which I just talked about. I know my company very well. What promises can you make to the customer based on the policies of the firm you work for? See, and that's another thing. Don't promise what you can't deliver. See, don't promise what you can't deliver. It's just like dealing with taxes. I let people know if you go to an audit, I'm going to be there with you. Other than that, and I know other people that prepare people's taxes. If they get audited, they tell them, oh, man, you're on your own. I went to an audit for a lady who taxes I didn't do. Somebody else did a tax. She couldn't get them to come to the audit with her. Now, how did you think that made her feel? See, and even though I didn't do her taxes, I went to the audit with her to try to help her out. And now she's a client of mine. She doesn't go back to that other person. But, again, how do you think that made her feel? The person did not defend their work. See, so you got to know, you know, promises you got to keep. Knowing the products that you sell. Again, I went through that. What reason does anybody have to buy the product or service that you provide? How would any or all of those products benefit the customer? You've got to be able to do that. So important. Knowing the industry. You've got to know your industry. If you don't know your industry, you're in trouble. Knowing your competitors, as I said. I come to my competitors. And that's why I think I used to like years ago when I used to sell life insurance in the ALA. We used to love what we used to call enemy agent confrontation. Whole life agent come in and try to defend his product. We just take, I ain't got to beat him up. I just take the policy and beat him up. Go through it and show all of the flaws. I said, what does it say right there? And the guy said, well, it don't mean that. I said, well, why is it written that way? They try to get a picture from double talking and people look at it. I said, I don't care what he said. You see what it says. You read it right there, line for line. So, you know, knowing that, knowing your market. See, I love the fact that I'm in the travel industry, a $9 trillion industry, and, you know, a huge industry. And knowing how people are going to be able to pay for it. So you got to know how they're going to be able to pay for it, you know what I mean? And the process to be able to take them through being able to pay for it. There's no good to get them all the way to the point of wanting to be able to purchase the item and you can't process them. So it's like the industry I'm in, we don't take cash. Checking account or debit card. Sometimes I have people that don't want to use their regular debit card. So what do? I have to take them out, go get a prepaid debit card. But knowing the process so you can close the sale. Now, one of the other things George talks about, and this is very, very important, and you know, this is a great piece that you must focus on. Assume the sale. When you go to the appointment, assume the sale, or we say the ABCs, always be closing through your presentation and assume the sale. I've seen people that blow it. You know, I have people that I be training and I'll be trying to tell them stay on track. You don't never tell a person, well, you know, you might not want to get this. You're just a suggestion for them not to purchase the item. You have to assume the sale. See, this is good stuff that George has in here called understanding the basic selling process. You have to assume the sale. See, you have to assume the sale because you're a better salesperson than the other person that talked to them. you see in most sales discussions that go for any length of time, both parties end up selling. The salesperson is selling the product while the customer, if he or she is trying to back out of the deal, is selling the salesperson on why the product isn't needed or wanted. The customer is probably not a professional salesperson. However, you are. You should assume that your selling skills will override those of the customer, especially as you learn how to use both logic and emotions to make your points. Okay, so it's important that you understand that process of forming the sale. And George gives out some other things in terms of understanding the sale process, and even some things that, you know, you can benefit from as we getting close to wind down time for the day. But we gave you some good tips right there on what we call closing. Now, that's, you know, once you have a person and you're sitting with them, you know, and you didn't got the appointment and all of that. But the first step in the selling process is prospect. And when you're prospecting, what you want to do is you got to, what we call, pique people's interest. He says, what are some of the good keys to prospecting? Let's start with what I consider to be a very heavy concept. Do you know the single most important thing that can change your whole life? It is simply changing your intellect and emotional reaction in response to the word no. See, and this is key. Too often we bring the new people into business and they out, and someone tells them no. You know, they don't know how to deal with that. You know, I always tell people no means not right now, not forever. See, but when you learn how to prospect properly, you'll get less no. It's like right now, as we're wrapping up the year, we're doing a whole piece on encouraging people to take a look at our business from the tax perspective, because if they come involved in the business before December 31st, they can get an additional tax write-off. But after December 31st, they won't. So that creates a lot of curiosity. See, the key to prospecting is creating curiosity. Having a home-based business, you get to write the mileage off that you use on your vehicle. So a lot of times when I'm pumping gas, at the gas station you stop and pump gas and wait for somebody on the other side and they're pumping gas. You know, and I do a little thing, you know, crack a little joke thing here, you know, I say, wow. Like right now gas is going for $3.25 a gallon here in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, and as a person, wow, how much is gas on your side over there? You know, they look at me like I'm stupid. Like, you know, can't you see the sign at $3.25? Wow, I'm glad gas is only $1.65 on my side over here. Said, what you talking about? Something wrong with the pump? $1.65? I said, oh, I forgot. You know, have a home based business after I get my tax deduction. And a person's curious. What are you talking about? I do not do a presentation yet. I've done what I needed to do. I put out a sizzle. You got to learn how to give people a sizzle before giving them the steak. What do we mean by that? It's a prospecting tool. You pique interest. You create curiosity. Person, what are you talking about? Hey, if you want to know more about that, look, here's my card. Give me your name and number, and I'll get back to you the next 24 to 48 hours and find a proper time where we can go into a discussion about that. Always be in a hurry when you prospect. You never want to give a presentation when you're prospecting. Your goal in prospecting is to get the person's name, number, and contact information and give them yours. There's some other prospecting tools. You're in the grocery store, standing in line. Hey, you know how it is. You're standing in the line, you're getting a long line, especially this time of the year, holidays, everybody's out shopping, doing this, that, and the other. So while you're there, you end up making small talk with them. Person either in front of you or behind you. Person's looking at your cart, you're looking at theirs. Or if you see they got some toys, depending on if you're in Walmart or something, oh, wow, see, for such and such. Oh, they'll tell you real quick who they bought it for. Oh, yeah, you know, bought that for my grandson or such and such. And then, you know, you get to talk to them and says, wow, on your grandson. How old is your grandson? You know, and they're going to tell you, you know, and then you talk about maybe, you know, your grandchild. You got to give them my age, because we're talking about grandchildren. But if you know, if not grandchildren, you're talking about your children. And a person there tell you about theirs, you're talking about yours, and then you say, wow, you must have a decent job to be able to, you know, have the money to be able to buy all of these gifts. And they'll tell you, you know, either yes or no, or they're struggling or whatever. And you ask them, well, by the way, what did you do? And they're going to tell you and see, and then what they're going to do, they're going to ask you, by the way, what did you do? That's when I give them my 30-second elevator speech. Hey, yeah, oh, well, you know, I'm recruiting for a company that's expanding in the area. Hey, we're trying to find some sharp people that want to make an extra $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Do you know anybody like that? I don't ask them if they're interested. See, key, take the focus off of them. Do you know anybody that's interested? And most of the time, they'll say me. Says, well, you know, hey, great. Hey, look, Bill and Mary, you know, here's my card. Let me get your information. And they might ask you, doing what? Well, Bill and Mary, you know, right now I really don't have time to go in and all of that. And plus what I need to show you is mostly visual. But look, here's my card and my name and number. And, you know, hey, can I have your name and number? And if so, I'll get back to you within the next 24 to 48 hours when we set up an appropriate time where I can share that information with you. And you've accomplished your job. That's what prospecting is all about. Okay. Once you've prospected the person, then you got to set the appointment up. And, you know, the scripts you should always never set up an appointment. Never set up an appointment, call a person and don't have a script. You learn your script so they become natural, so it don't sound like you read. So your script has to be, hey, Bill, Mary, hey, this is John. You know, hey, met you the other day at Walmart. Hey, man, how you doing? How'd your grandson like that toy you bought? Oh, man, he loved it. You're small talk. He said, yeah, well, Bill, you know, I'm getting back to you. You know, you said you wanted to get more information about, you know, what our company has to offer. You know, is this a good time? If not, you know, you don't have to say if not, because you don't want to suggest. You ask them if this is a good time. They will tell you if it is or if it's not. I say, you know what, I need about 20 minutes of your time, and like for the business that I'm in, I need to be able to get in front of the computer. If they can't do it right then and there, then I'll schedule a time in which they can do it. I ask them, well, if right now it's not a good time once you can get in front of the computer, let me look at my calendar here. You know, I got some time open Wednesday evening between 6 and 8 and Friday evening between 6 and 8. What works best for you, morning or evening? And they'll tell me. And then I said, well, let me look at my calendar and let me see, you know, what I have open and during that time. And then you schedule it. And they said, well, can you tell me something about it, you know, so I know what we're going to be doing? And then I just reemphasize again, well, you know, hey, Bill, it's like 90% visual, and I really need you to be in front of your computer so that, you know, you can get the full understanding of what it is that I want to share with you. And if I don't do it that way, I'll be doing you a disservice and myself a disservice. Okay? That's how you get your appointment set up. And then whatever it is that you're dealing with, and you get that appointment set up, you do your presentation, and you close. You always be closing through your presentation. And you want to get referrals from the person. This is key, referrals. They like what you offer them. You know, you have your referral script. So remember, always have a script. Prospect, you pique interest. You pique interest. Call back, you get the appointment set, then you kill your competition, you share your product, and you get them a reason to purchase it. I've done this with people totally over the phone in front of the computer that I've only met out somewhere in terms of giving out business cards. Also, just like this radio show, I have people that I have done business with who I've brought in the business either through being able to do their taxes or through my YCB business. Only met them on Facebook or through this radio show. Never met in person and have been able to close those sales. If I'm telling you, with this internet and social media and other stuff, there is a great day in front of us for people that are salespeople. So you really want to understand the selling process. Hey, that's going to bring us to a close for today's show. I hope you got a lot out of this. And, you know, God willing, the creek don't rise. We'll be back again tomorrow morning discussing some more of George Shapiro's book, Getting Black Folks to Sell. And, hey, thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful day. And for those who are celebrating Kwanzaa today, Habari Gani, Umoja Habari Gani. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa. Strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Tuta Nana, till we meet again. God willing, the creek don't rise. That'll be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Thank you.